This morning's scripture comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9 and verses 13 to 16. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, though perishable, is tested by fire. It may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all of your conduct. For it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
This morning's 1 Peter passage, especially the first part, A Living Hope, is usually shared at many community services, also known as graveside services, officiated by most United Methodist pastors. And I use this Living Hope part all the time for graveside services too, mainly because this special passage is included in the United Methodist Book of Worship. Some of you might remember this meaningful, hopeful, and comforting words of Peter on our living hope in Christ Jesus. Because of Jesus, who is the risen Christ, we, the children of God, the children of light, should not fear anything, even in the face of death. Moreover, it is also known that this 1 Peter's Living Hope passage was used in a baptismal setting during the early church times, mostly as a baptismal liturgy and a baptismal sermon in the past. The basis of the baptism is in verse 3. Pay attention to the word new birth. Verse 3 says, "By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." When you are being baptized, you are dying to your sins, dying to the world, yet you are dying with Christ just as Christ died on the cross. And you are at the same time also rising from the water, receiving a new birth and a new life in Christ. So you are now a new creation in Christ, a precious child of God, the heir of God's eternal salvation. That is why baptism is so important for Christians. In our Protestant church traditions and doctrines, we only have two sacraments, Holy Communion and baptism. So if you have not been baptized yet, I invite you to consider to be baptized because it is so important. And I know that most of you have been already baptized. Then please remember your baptism and your baptismal covenant always, and especially during Advent season. Today is the very first Sunday of the new Christian church calendar. The first season is Advent, and today is the first Sunday of Advent. Please visit our church's homepage time to time, for we always update information. Recently, our website ministry team has updated our website, and please visit and enjoy all the information on our missions, ministries, and seasonal guidelines. And thanks to our church's wonderful website team, and you find more information on Advent as well. The word Advent is from the Latin word Adventus, meaning coming or arrival. What is coming? What is arriving? Who is coming? Jesus is coming. So Advent is a time of waiting for Jesus coming. During Advent, there are two meanings of waiting. Jesus' first coming, we call this Christmas, which everyone knows, right? Then there is another coming, the second coming of Jesus in the future tense. Therefore, whenever we observe the season of Advent, we not only wait for the birth of Christ, but also wait for the completion of the new heaven and new earth. That is why the gospel writers emphasize keep awake during this Advent season. In this sense, even though every year we repeat the same Christian church calendar by observing the same cycle, Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Easter, Pentecost, so on, and again, Advent, right? So you must keep awake by pondering upon the meaning of your faith in Christ Jesus here and now, especially as you begin another new year of our faith tradition. And I have selected this 1 Peter passage this morning because this passage not only helps us to remember our baptismal covenant in the past, but also offers us our eternal hope in Christ Jesus now and beyond. When you are strengthened by holding your unwavering faith in Christ, you can certainly be assured by affirming your faith in Christ through Advent. Many times we feel that we are confined by time, always, past, present, and future. Yet, when you realize you are living here and now, you are indeed always living with your past and future. You cannot possibly separate your past life memories unless you suffer from some form of brain damage or illness and lose your memories. Therefore, the time right now always becomes another new opportunity to restart your life with through remembering your baptismal covenant and sustaining your faith in Christ no matter what circumstances you go through. Yes, Advent is a wonderful reminder of God's love for you so that you can start another new beginning. Verse 13 invites you to a holy living. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Your baptism is not a magic ritual that turns you into a perfect person. No. But it is your commitment to Christ. In verse 14, in the past, even though when you were God's children, you did not know better in certain ways. The verse 14 says, like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. When you are in the state of ignorance, unfortunately, your thinking paradigm is limited, and everything becomes simply black and white. And you are confined by your own knowledge and experience and not able to see anything beyond yourself. With your self-righteousness, you are always right, and everyone who has a different opinion from yours is wrong. We were used to be like that, having the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. But now everything is changed because of Christ who dwells in you. So it is very important for you to move forward, leaving everything that is not edifying behind. Your ignorance should not be an excuse for you to stay in sins or evil deeds if you profess your faith in Christ. Rather, you need to move forward to the status of pursuing holiness. And verses 15 and 16, instead, as he who called you in is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. We are at one of the most important crossroads of our faith journey. At this time, here and now, we are at the past, at the present, and at the future. What a perfect time for us to reboot our life and faith journey. Just as verse 13, you must set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Yes, Advent is a time for you to set all your hope on the grace of Christ. My sermon title this morning is Ad Fontes. I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with this Latin term, Ad Fontes. Ad Fontes literally means back to the fountain or back to the source of life. This phrase, Ad Fontes, originally comes from the Vulgate, a late 4th century Latin translation of the Bible. I believe you are very familiar with this song called As the Deer. This is one of my favorite songs, and this song is based on Psalm 42:1. And please join me in singing this song this morning. Thank you. Psalm 42:1 says, "As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, my God." But according to the Vulgate, literally, it reads, "In the same way the stag, the deer, is drawn back to the sources of water, so my soul is drawn unto you, O God." Here, back to the sources of water is ad fontes. Back to the fountain. Back to the source of life. The psalmist expresses a longing to return to God as the source of his life. What is the fountain? The fountain is the living God. As medieval saints and Protestant reformers looked at this psalm, they added that the fountain is Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. It is the gospel, the power of God for salvation. And it is the scriptures, the word of God, which abides forever. These are the springs that gave us our life. These are the fountains that sustains our life. These are the sources of our faith, our love, and our hope. Ad fontes. We can say that by looking backwards, we can go forward. My brothers and sisters in Christ, Advent is not just a mere extra waiting time for Christmas to test your patience. It is a time for to reset and refocus your life by arranging your priorities. It is a time for you to engage in pursuing holiness as God is holy. It is a time for us to share God's love and peace and joy. And remember, Advent is a time for ad fontes. It is a time for you to remember your baptism and your baptismal covenant and be grateful. No wonder why we call baptismal font. We have a baptismal font right here. The word font comes from the Latin word fontes. Let us go back to the living water, the source of life, and Jesus is truly our hope. Amen? Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful." Thanks be to God. Amen.